rise and join us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors. August 31st, 2021, are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. As you know, our city primary candidate deadline passed today. Today is the last day that anybody can withdraw or objections. We'll be open till 5 p.m. for any of that. We sent the order off to the printers so that they can start sending us, working on the proofs and everything. And if anything changes before all of that, then we will correct those. But at least getting it started so we can get the ballots here. Because our first day, absentee voting begins 9/15 on September the 15th for the city of primary. So we should have ballots and everything ready for that. It's only after the October primary running into the November city school election that dates get tight, because October 5th is the city primary. October the 7th, you guys will canvass that election. We can't do it till after 1 p.m. And then we place the order for the ballots, especially for the city of Burlington. And the thing is that's October the 7th is our canvass date, and October the 13th is the first day that we can absentee vote for the November election. So it only gives us 5 days to get our ballots.
You can do it.
Well, we'll see if the printers can do that, because we aren't their only client. So, and then of course October the 13th is going to be the first day for absentee voting for the city school, and October the 18th will be the last day that you can have one mailed to you. Anything after that, they're going to have to come in person and absentee vote. And the kind of same deadlines run for the city primary. So anyway, that's the
What's the last day for the like Minneapolis and Danville and
for their candidates
to file their papers? Yeah, for
the there candidates. Those candidate filing deadline is September the 16th.
September 16th
at 5 p.m. because all the city candidates have to file down here with us. School candidates file with our school secretaries, and then the next day the school secretaries will bring everything into us because they need to have it into us by noon the following day.
That's absentee voting for the primary election. Did you say it and I wasn't hearing?
13.
No.
No, the 15th. September the 15th, the absentee voting begins.
Okay. Are they allowed to send in requests?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because right now we're 70 days before even the November election. So anybody that wants an absentee ballot, either for the primary or for the November election, they can now start sending in their request forms.
Do you have to send in two? Do you have to send in a primary one and also one for the ballot?
Yes. Yeah, you'll have to specify whether you want it for the city primary or the November election.
Thank you, Terry. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Don't really got anything new to report.
Thanks, Colin. Kevin Glendenning, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Hi, good morning. Things are going well at the Sheriff's Office. Another busy week, but nothing too out of the ordinary. We have 73 at the jail, three out of county. Four out of county, and three are going to be heading off to prison here soon. There are two new hires that the board met last week. They started the academy yesterday, so they'll be off for 16 weeks. And we'll get them back, and they'll do another 16-week training with us. So get through that process and keep our staffing working.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Looking at your website, and see that you're keeping these people off the street. Good job.
Doing our best. They're very active.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning.
Not a whole lot to update you on. Got an agenda item today. I promise to keep it short.
Jared Glasser, Land Use.
Good morning. Let's see, we had last week we had the flood planning advisory board meeting Tuesday afternoon. Pretty uneventful. I think there's a general understanding that we are dealing with what is largely a requirement in order to remain in compliance with DNR and FEMA regulations. So there's a number of changes in there, but they're largely necessitated by revisions in the state, the DNR's model ordinance over the past 5 years. So there were a few questions, not a whole lot of discussion. So I think in general, I think there seems to be an understanding of where we're at this point. So the board did vote to recommend approval of the ordinance. So in the next few weeks here, you can expect to see that come to the agenda for readings and then final approval. We're just figuring out the logistics of that, but the maps go effective in late October. So, but we, and now that we have we're at the point where we're at. We got a little bit of breathing room, so I think we're in a good place to get that that set as planned. From there, it'll be moving on to the larger subdivision and zoning ordinances, which will also be ready to go here very soon. So I'm sure you're all looking forward to this busy season of ordinance update and approval. We after working on it for several years, we're very much looking forward to that. Apart from that, I don't have anything else.
To getting it done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jared. Dale Schmidt, you're not a county department, but we'd certainly be interested if you have anything to tell us about the Greater Roman Partnership.
Workforce.
Three words. So powerful.
At some point, I would love the opportunity to circle back and converse with the supervisors about the proposal that we put together for your consideration regarding workforce. So, not on the agenda today, but I want to make sure that it stays on your radar.
Okay. Anytime you want something on the agenda, you can call Terry. It needs to be in Friday morning, if it's going to be the following Tuesday, or if you talk to one of us, we'd be happy to do it for you. So,
sure.
For next week's agenda, I need all items by Thursday since Monday is a holiday.
Well, when there's not a holiday involved.
Maybe the 14th?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just send me an email on how you want that on there and titled, and we'll get it on there.
Yes, ma'am. We'll do.
What's up with that? Go to the boss. Thank you, Della. Janelle Nellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. I have nothing new to report today.
Thank you. Trent Hankelbeck, Des Moines County Attorney's Office.
Good. Definitely keeping busy. Lisa's upstairs doing voir dire. Judicial branch put us back as of Monday. So they're doing panel voir dire up there. They're wearing masks in the courtroom. For the judicial branch.
Did they have to go back to the social distancing model they had before?
That's correct, yes. So, but other than that, nothing new to report.
Okay. Yep. And I think you're here for a closed session.
That's correct.
Okay. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Just a heads up that snowmobiles and off-road vehicles, you can start renewing those tomorrow, September 1st. And they do expire December 31st. So after that, there'll be a $5 penalty. Otherwise, just business as usual.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Project's still moving on. Flint Bottom's still making headway. I still like to think that maybe by the beginning of October that could get opened up somewhere in that range. Maybe a little earlier, just depending on the weather and how things come together.
Careful about saying that.
I know. Geode is still, I would call it on hold, is what I'd probably say. Henry County is making headway on their on their stuff, and talked to the engineer yesterday, and it was just kind of depend on how this week went. So it's kind of a week by week thing, but they are making headway on their side of it, and that'll free up that contractor to come our way. So we are still on pause basically to work with them. We have not started working days or anything like that. So, but that project will continue once we get the contractor and they can move in. So I'll let you guys know when that happens. And Pleasant Grove is still a go. We haven't heard anything different. So as of right now, last we were told they were looking at September 13th, Shane, for starting that. So if I hear something different, I'll pass that on, but that's our current date. So other than that, we're just...
That's also the same day that I noticed they had the flashing signs on Highway 61 that there's going to be another traffic pattern change.
Oh.
So I must be switching over to some of the new pavement in that first little, just north of, oh, where the little school is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I know they've been working on some more runarounds and stuff like that up there, crossovers. So I think we haven't seen the last of the change. Upper Flint is still closed. The DOT, I think, is trying to move the contractor along a little faster. I don't know if they'll succeed or not, but that is still closed. I think people have adjusted. I haven't heard a whole lot about it here recently. We're gonna do a little bit of work on Upper Flint while it is closed and the traffic level's down. So, and our crews are work on different stuff. We pulled off a ditching temporarily, but we'll get back to that. Gonna be doing some patching over the next couple weeks, working towards some patching, I guess I should say, saw cutting for now. And then I would mention we are gonna start pinching tomorrow. And I just mentioned it because that always generates calls. So, and one of them will be a little busier road, if I had to guess. They'll figure it out. Maybe we'll get people to start using the pave system we have instead of the gravel system, but we're gonna pinch part of the road that people use as a back way into Big Hollow, the 190th street that runs by John Deere. So
maybe they'll call Chris.
So I encourage everybody to call Chris.
Hey, is that the only road that you're pinching all over the place?
No, we're doing probably 8 to 10 miles all over the county.
You want to email me that list of roads that you're pinching? Because that's where I'll be getting.
Nope, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. I still want to get you out to take a look at those so you can understand what we're doing. So
it just depends
on your schedule.
Yeah, right on.
So, but we'll be working. Shane, those will be going on and off probably for the next month. It's not something you just snap your fingers and get to, but we'll be working on stuff for a while on those. So it's that'll
so
just
maybe
be the first
I can
of
see
the,
kind of some
yep.
stages.
Yep. So anyway, so I don't know exactly. I don't know if they're starting on that one or not, because we have all the roads that we're going to do are all discs now and ready to go. So we'll jump to wherever they can. We were kind of hoping we'd get some moisture, but that hasn't worked out. So,
about an hour.
Yeah.
Today it works.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. That was drying up as fast as we could get to our border this morning. So.
There's one thing about that pinching. People don't like it when you're doing it, but a year later they come up to you and say, that road is really the best it's been in 20 years.
Yep, which is why I mentioned it to you, because it gets them riled up off the bat, but when you give it some time, they turn into really, really good gravel roads for a long time. So we're not the only county. A lot of counties have started to do that as kind of a more cost-effective way to help improve some of their gravel roads. So, other than that, move along and haul a lot of rock still.
Did Henry County get that road stabilized then?
They have done the bulk of what they're working on this week. They're, from what I understand, they were going to be working on putting down some geotextile type fabric and then put rock on it to open it up temporarily. They did find a soft spot that they were working towards dealing with, trying to stabilize that just to make sure everything was as good as possible, I guess. I don't know if there's any guarantees that they'll get completely away from the slide. They'll know as time moves on.
Yeah, they're starting to slide.
Yeah. So, but they've removed quite a bit of dirt. I haven't been out there. I didn't see any reason I don't need to be out there to be in their way, but they've removed quite a bit of dirt from what I understood, and it sounds like it looks pretty good. They did run in some moisture though, so I think they're figuring that out before they went too far forward. A lot of that's they've applied for ER funds, which is federal government, so you tend to make a phone call before you do something to make sure that they're not gonna reject you. So they're playing that game, and that's a kind of a painful game. So, but it will help them greatly as far as funding goes. So I think they're happy to have it. It's just it does add a layer. So, yeah, I think they're gonna get it buttoned up. I think they'll get it opened up at least in a temporary fashion, and then we'll get to moving on our project. In the end, it'll work out.
So, thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Rodney Buesner, maintenance.
Good morning. The generator manufacturer is going to be scheduled to be at the jail today to do an initial startup. So they're not switching over today. They're just doing the initial startup and making sure everything's the way it should be. So they're supposed to do that like a week ago, Friday, or a couple weeks ago. So anyway, they're going to be there today for that. Other than that, just have an agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Brooke Moron. I see you back here.
Good morning.
Veterans Administration. Veterans Affairs.
Yes. Just keep them busy. Nothing new really to report.
Thanks, Brooke. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. Same thing. Just keep them busy. Don't have really anything new to report. So.
That's good when you don't have anything new.
That's good.
Especially coming from you. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Speaking of workforce shortages, we just got a letter from one of our providers. Insight Partnership Group has informed the region that they're going to have to move out of Mount Pleasant, Iowa. Insight has their main offices in Mount Pleasant, and they do services here in Des Moines County, they do services in Lee County, they do services in Ottumwa, and they do services in Mount Pleasant. They have homes in Mount Pleasant, and they're going to relocate all the people that are in the homes probably here to Des Moines County or to Ottumwa. So because they can't find enough workers to continue having those homes in Mount Pleasant. So
how many homes do they have in Mount Pleasant?
I'm not exactly sure.
Site homes or have homes?
Have homes, yeah. So in the email it says that Sarah Barron had heard that maybe REM would step in and help some of the people in Mount Pleasant.
Who?
REM, it's another provider that does Medicaid-funded services there. But got no confirmation of that. They have offered all of their site home members to move to open houses in Burlington and Ottumwa, and can accommodate all but three ladies who live in a site in Mount Pleasant. All of our community referrals will be discharged with 30-day notices presented today. So we would insert, okay, this is dated August 30th, yep. We would end services and assist in transition with those members by September 30th, 2021. So basically, you know, we have a workforce shortage here in Des Moines County too, but we're gonna be receiving more people from over there in Henry County, and they're going to be trying to fill those openings too, and so it'll just make things tighter here in our county too, but we want to help the people as best we can, and so that's what their plan is.
Do we have enough openings here?
They're saying that they do. As an agency, they found places for them. So other than the three ladies that they're still working with. That's all I have for now.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah. We got anybody online? Did I miss anybody?
I need to add one thing. Sorry about that. The DOT's doing a project. Yeah, sorry.
I know you're not.
But when you hear about it, it's got a county road down to, it's two lanes still. You can still get through. But the overpasses that go over Beaverdale Road were hit by a company that was pulling a lift or something, I don't remember what it was, that was too high, and so it clipped the bottom of all the beams. And Chris has noticed it because he's got drifted to traffic control. What you don't realize is they came in, did a short-term inspection way back when, decided they could leave it open, but they're in to do permanent repairs now. And so you're going to see some change in traffic pattern out in that Beaverdale interchange area, which is the exit for the ethanol plant, in case you're drawing a blank. I don't believe it's not going to close either the four lane or the or Beaverdale at any point. They're going to keep all traffic going. At some point, I believe they are going to move traffic more into a head-on type dynamic on the four lane to get the traffic off of the bridge while they do some of that repair. So I thought I'd mention that, because if you go underneath now, they've got a completely different, it's still two-lane traffic, it's just different through there. You just kind of got to slow down and you can get on through. So, and that's going to go on for sounds like about a month, maybe a little bit longer. So it's not our project, we don't have anything to do with it. The DOT did make us aware of it. Their pre-con was, of course, last Tuesday morning, so I wasn't able to be a part of it. But they sent some information, and so I decided to pass it on in case you guys hear something about it.
Isn't that where the traffic from some of the Flint Hills drive work? Don't they have to go around to Beaverdale Road to come right now?
Yeah, I mean, if they're, that is certainly a way that they can go around. But it's, like I said, it's not closed. It's just, you just kind of got to slow down to go through a construction spot.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Okay, Jeff, correspondence. I had no correspondence. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Bowman wedding at the Barn on the Ridge on September 18th. Apparently KG's got no problem with it.
Runs a tight ship out there. And at home at the Met.
This is being recorded. So moved.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have a Class C liquor license for the Yarmouth Filling Station. And I have a lot of good authority from the sheriff that that's not a problem. So
move to approve. Yes.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a conservation annual report. I'm guessing that's Mr. Lee.
That would be me. So this is our annual presentation for our supervisors, which we are required to do by code, Iowa Code 350, so we have to give an annual report to anybody that wants one. Fill these out if anybody would like one. So nothing real earth shattering in this one. Unlike in previous years, we've kind of highlighted some big major projects that we've done. We do get into this last fiscal year that we didn't have a lot of big irons in the fire. We had, you know, not that long ago completed all the big stuff at Big Hollow. And we kind of were taking a step back and moving back into the planning phase. And then with COVID and everything, it wasn't the time to go out, start soliciting fundraising for the Big Hollow Master Plan and everything. And so this is just kind of a highlight of some of the stuff that happened throughout the course of the year. We did some renovations there at the Tama Boat Ramp, with the river finally getting down to a level that allowed us to do that. We got the new bouldering wall at Stars Cave. That was a volunteer built structure. As I mentioned before, the Big Hollow Master Plan is finally published and we're out with that. We're working on assembling a capital campaign committee. And we'll get that going here probably by the end of the year, and starting in 2022, get out there and hit the fundraising in earnest. We're putting together an accessibility task force, so a bunch of folks from around the community are going to come out to the park and look at different ways to make that more accessible. We're already in the process of writing a grant to get sidewalks down to the beach and things like that, to just try to make that park more accessible and work that into everything we do as far as the renovations to that park. A bunch of staff changes, interns, we added those part-time, those permanent part-time positions to help us kind of keep things flowing. That was kind of one of the other reasons we didn't really want to tackle any big major capital projects this last year, is we needed to get our operations kind of figured out and get our staffing figured out. So we're kind of still in the process of that. Moving on to the second page there, page four, you can see our camping has pretty well topped out. That blue line is Big Hollow's on that top left graph there on page four. We're just at max capacity. We can't really add any more campers to that park. You look at total campers across the county. Last year we were at 63, 63. We're at 6282, which isn't that much different. I think, you know, that's just it's essentially the same amount. We're at capacity at Big Hollow, and the other parks just kind of fluctuate depending on conditions a little bit. Shooting range numbers are down just a little bit. I don't really know what to attribute that to, other than, you know, maybe some due to COVID. Could be that more folks are using the indoor range up here. That's not that big of a drop either. So it's really nothing we're too concerned with. Moving on to page 7, our land stewardship. Big one on that. We built that new pond. We funded that through the Fish Habitat Grant. And this is kind of something, it's nice to see a project come all the way through. So 4, 5, 6 years ago, maybe longer, when we were talking with the Linder family about acquiring that property, one of the things, Elaine Hall actually, she's like, you know, what are some of the things you're going to do with this, you know, if you were to get it? This, you know, before they had offered to sell it to us in a bargain sale and everything. We said, well, one of the big things we want to do is renovate that pond. We want to, there's some parts of this property that we think possibly have never been plowed. And so, you know, we're going to see about what's going to come up in that if we start burning it, doing some management on there. And so it's really nice to, you know, have completed what we said we were going to do. And that pond really needed. It's full now. It's already been stocked with fish. And so, and she's very excited on that. We have started burning that prairie area that we think maybe has native vegetation in it. So we're really excited to see what's going to come up from that. And so it's really cool to go from concept, you know, this property that we hadn't owned, all the way to now we're executing on it. And so, you know, nothing happens quickly, but it's really neat to finally start knocking some of these projects out, you know, somewhere outside of Big Hollow. Environmental education, you can look there. So page 9, our numbers are way down, but that's to be expected. You know, we had a year of a pandemic. We couldn't do programs. We couldn't do field trips. We couldn't get into the classrooms. And even at that, like I mentioned last week, I think we did our program sign up and our numbers are still down a little bit. I think classrooms are just a little hesitant to really jump back in and, you know, bring folks in from the outside. And a lot of schools even have the rules now, you know, you're not bringing visitors in. And so I expect our numbers probably will still be below average throughout the course of this year, but it'll certainly be up from what they were last year. Page there on our volunteers. So every year we recognize volunteers, and so last fiscal year we recognized Bill and Jan Lipper, our camp host up at the Fort Pumping Station, the Flint River Boat Club, and as Environmental Educator of the Year, and Ron Woolridge as well, with an Outstanding Service Award. And then just financials and board member stuff at the back of it. So kind of the highlight of the fiscal year 2021. Looking forward to doing great stuff this coming year. Is that about it?
Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
I'm glad to hear where you're looking to maybe get a sidewalk down to the beach, you know, for handicapped people.
Yeah.
And a wheelchair, that's gonna make people happy here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's one of the things I'm really excited about too with the renovations in this park. I mean, you know, the big things like the cabins and that park office and that education facility we want to build up there, like that's big and flashy. But from a day-to-day making this park usable to the average person, it's little things like that, like a sidewalk here or a better trail there, or like that kayak dock we put in a couple years ago. Like it's just, it doesn't always have to be, you know, $1 million+ project. It could be, you know, $20,000 to get sidewalks put around on that beach and down to the water, and all of a sudden you've got a facility that's, you know, accessible to folks that could never touch it before. We're really looking forward to that. We've got some ideas, I guess, from ISAC last week. I guess some really cool ideas of some of the things they've done at boat ramps, and so we're going to start considering that's going to be the next big project we tackle, doing something about that steep boat ramp that we have up there. And then just try to leverage this up. So, you know, knock down this grant, hopefully, that I'm applying for today, and then grow that into, you know, other grants, and then use that to leverage other things to where we're doing stuff, you know, park-wide.
I helped take a gentleman down, one of your helpers built a nice bench and varnished it and everything out there. and I took a gentleman from assisted living down there, almost had to carry him down there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a young man myself either. But he went back and told everybody how nice that was, out looking over the lake like that.
Yeah.
And people couldn't get down there.
Yeah.
So this is gonna, that sign is gonna make a whole big difference.
Exactly, yeah. And that's, hearing those stories just, you know, just tears me up to know that there's folks there that would love to get out there and experience what that park has to offer and just can't get there simply due to, you know, the natural topography of the place. And so, you know, let's find ways to mitigate that.
Thank you.
How goes the war against the algae?
Losing, miserably, yeah. I have never, and a lot of folks I know that have ponds have said the same thing, I have never seen algae as bad as it has been this year. It's just, there's something about this year's conditions have just, you know, it's been hot and dry. And so that's just ripe for growing that duckweed, that floating stuff. And once it's there, there's really nothing you can do about it. I don't know of, I mean, you could chemically treat it, but, you know, like I said before, that's a huge cost, and you'll kill all the fish. Because all that will fall, it'll start decomposing, it'll suck all the oxygen out of the water.
A little bit of hay won't help.
On 178 acres now. And then the other thing we have coming is that, you know, we do constantly have influxes of new water coming in there, and it's loaded with nutrients. And so you're going to kill all that stuff off, and then you're just going to grow new. One of the things I want to do is I'm going to, if I can get around to it, I'm going to get a clear tote, and I'm going to fill it with lake water. I'm going to take one little tiny frond of that limb, that duckweed, and I'm going to stick it in there, and I'm going to put a trail cam on it, taking a picture every hour, and document how fast that stuff grows. And I think it's just a matter of days, it will have completely covered that, you know, that big tote, because that's just, that stuff grows exponentially. And, you know, if you don't get it treated up in the clear uplands, you know, where that water's first coming in, and even up the creeks that come up in there, it's going to explode and take over the lake. The only way to fix it is to fix the watershed, and we're working on that. In fact, I have a call, I think, tomorrow with the watershed team again, talking about doing some, getting our monitoring program going, and then they'll have that plan that they've been working on, they'll have that done this year, and hopefully start getting some dollars flowing to do some things up in that watershed.
Start how much wedding reception over the weekend at the pond? Out on a farm, nice place, and had a pretty good sized pond there, a lot of algae. And so I mentioned it to the guy, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "This, that they're having a bad year with it." So
we put 3 new aerators on our pond, and we still are growing it. People ask you about aeration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doing me no good.
Yeah.
We put 3 aerators on it. I got a small pond. I mean, it's not that big.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are looking into, I mean, as far as stopgap measures, we are looking into ways to at least control the area at the boat ramp and the area at the beach. And, you know, quarantining the kind of beach area off and putting some sort of barrier in so the stuff from the main lake can't get in there, and then treating that. Because that's potentially viable. And so we're tossing around some ideas and looking at possibly doing that. And then that cove where the boat ramp is, you know, possibly putting in some water agitators to keep that from coming in and getting into that cove, and then treating that cove. So at least when you're putting the boat in, you're not sucking all that up into the boat. And if you have any breeze, once you get out into the main lake, you can get into open water. But back in those coves and right there on that beach, all that south wind just stacks it up right there.
Let's get some of them big round alfalfa bales and put in that ranch where it's going in there.
Yeah, and so in a small area, that might be a solution, yeah.
Lori says it works on her pond.
But it's a little smaller.
Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
We have personnel action for the engineer's office. Gage McElhaney, a seasonal worker. Seasonal work ended on August 27th, 21.
Move to approve.
Say. Carey.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
John Broker?
Yes. We have a of minutes for the regular meeting of August 24th. Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Other business. Future agenda items. Workforce.
September 14th.
That's right. We want to have I know Bob and Mike Morris, Southeast Our Regional Planning, and Bob, your housing, this is the chair of your housing, we're going to come and make a presentation. I have not heard from them.
We are scheduled to present to the City of Burlington work session on Monday, September 13th. So we'll do that first.
Sure.
Maybe I can put two things on the agenda for the 14th. We'll see. But there is a order or a method to our approach, which is we need to talk to the City of Burlington first, and then we'll be ready to come and talk to DuPage County.
And that's fine. Whenever you're ready, I just wanted to remind you that you're certainly welcome, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Tom, you might want to wait just a second. You lost Terry. She wanted to get your phone and stuff.
Oh,
Kevin wasn't fast enough.
Probably somebody telling me that you're pinching the rug.
Yeah. Hang up.
I want that county engineer fired now. I'm preparing for those.
Hey, while we're waiting on her, can I throw out, school is now in session. I always do this at the beginning of every school year so that people don't forget. All five of you that are watching, slow down. And just everybody forgets, but just a reminder, I remind myself. I do want to also say that we had a loss of life. We had a house fire just recently in the City of Burlington. And anytime there's tragedy, I remind people this too. Everybody needs to have an escape route. You know, you need to check and say, well, if something was to go down, how am I getting out of my house? And then you need to practice it. Everybody needs to do that. That's always a joke. Until, you know, I remember my dad said, son, you know, I change that tire? No, but if I need to change it, I'll change it. You better change that tire, boy. Well, once I did, then I knew that if I ever had to change it again, I knew that I could. You ought to have an escape route. And no, you know, well, I'm going to go out this window. How are you going to get it open? You know what I'm saying? Have you opened it before? Does it stick? You know what I'm saying? Just the little small things. Protect yourself. And you can say, well, Shay, that's small potatoes. Man, say that to the lady over on, I can't remember what street it's on. May she rest in peace. But
Washington
Street. Have an escape route. Practice it. Practice it with your kids. If you have kids, say, hey, if mom and dad aren't home, something breaks out. Well, we can't go out the front door. Well, then how are you going to get out? How are you going to get out? So those things are important. If you don't have one in the place that you live and you're renting, better tell your landlord to get right. All right. That's. Oh, wait a minute.
Make sure you have fire alarms.
Yeah.
And they got good batteries.
Yep.
Thank you, AV. And then, well, that's it. That's all I got. What's that?
I'll call back later.
Somebody
wanted to talk to you.
Call me up. Tell me what a good job I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. If you want to take it that away, go ahead.
He always gets 5 stars.
Until that's not going to be a call.
There's the off chance they wanted something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cross that ridge when we come to it. Committee reports.
I skipped out on the assessor's board meeting on my way to Des Moines. So, Tom, would you like to address that for us?
The conference board reappointed Matt Warner, the assessor, to another 6-year term. So, that was.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
It was unanimous on the supervisor's part.
The conference board votes in, has 3 votes. The board of supervisors is 1 vote, then all the mayors in the county are 1 vote, and a representative from each school district is 1 vote. So Yeah, he was elected 3-0. Jim?
That's all I had was assessors.
I attended the fair board meeting this morning. They discussed the last recent fair. The attendance was down, but I think everybody was glad to be back to the fair, and kids were glad to be back there with their animals, and everybody was glad to see them. And of course, parents and grandparents were more than happy to see their children there with their 4-H projects. This was the first year. For 3 years, they didn't have any. Before, they tried to, they had events where they'd have beer, they'd have like a band and beer. They abandoned that. They said, of course, it's always when you have a project like that, it's the same 3 or 4 people that do all the work, and they put in all this money, and they make maybe $80. So that's not a thing anymore, unless somebody else who's willing to do the work comes up with it. We attended the Iowa State Association of Counties and had seminars. I attended Jim couldn't make it, the American Rescue Plan seminar, and we got good information. There was somebody over there from Scott County that went through some of the particulars of the difference between a request for qualification and a request for purchase, for proposal for federal contracting regulations, which I'm glad he pointed that. He said, talk to me after the meeting, and I did. So, and that was good information. They had a presentation on justice-involved services from two former policemen from San Antonio, which has become kind of the national model for the crisis intervention training. And it was very interesting. It wasn't quite what I'd expected, but it was very good. And the supervisor's agenda was a little weak part of one day, so I attended the HR class with the auditors, and I thought that was good information.
You and Kevin and Lisa attended, and poor Kevin got picked on a little bit because
we should have known the sheriff. He showed up at the auditor's meeting.
But
yay, Kevin!
It was a good session.
The auditors are a feisty bunch. It's typically focused on the sheriff's office.
Typically focused on the shortcomings of the sheriff's office.
Of some. Definitely not
the point. Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of them were referencing how things were being done in their counties, and they just didn't quite get it. And, yeah.
Yeah, you
99 different counties, so.
When you see how some things are done in different counties, you appreciate it.
But you stay pretty quiet up there in the front. You stay pretty quiet up there in the front row, so.
Also, there is no I can hear what they're saying. I can read stuff on the screen. Okay, that's all I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or call. In the meantime, anybody in attendance have any comments?
Yeah, I did want to ask, did you catch during the ARP meeting where they were talking about doing an after-action report where that lady was talking about for the money that they spent?
And I think a lot of it was a defense. You're going to have a defense, and it'll be the Board of Supervisors and the county attorney heads up. We will have to defend those expenditures.
I was just wondering if that was something we were going to have to
do. No, the Treasury Department is not going to look at those when we said, okay, we've hired a an architect engineer for a public health facility. They're not going to look at that and say, that sounds good. Some guy, a couple, three, 4 years down the line, somebody's not going to have anything to do, and so they're going to pull something to audit. That's when they'll decide, after you've already finished, well, we like that or we don't like that. And so they were touching on things you would need to have, in other words, to defend that expenditure, say this or that. And so I think they think we should depend on you to interpret the meaning of those, call them guidelines.
The excitement is overwhelming.
Well, it's new to you. Everything I learned about it is news to me. So, and I'm confident that will continue. But and then the Board of Supervisors, you know, we will have made a judgment. We will have to defend our judgment and say we decided to spend it for this, and this reason, and pair it up with those guidelines. So the guidelines said this is what we could use to spend it on. And this meets those guidelines because of this, this, and this.
And you're doing that anyway.
We're trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anybody else? Okay. We have two closed session meetings, and fair warning, one of those will probably be a little lengthy. So we will come back out and adjourn, but it might be a little while. So feel free to leave and not worry about what's going to happen.
Yeah, Lori, don't run out.
I'll have a great
day.
So you get to wear those braces every day when you're...
Where have you been? I've been wearing these for literally...
Okay, now we're going to start again for...
I make a motion we go out of closed session.
Second. Terry? It's going to be an essay test.
Yeah,
no multiple choice.
Okay, so we've got our closed sessions. We're out of those, so yes, it's ready to adjourn.
With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.